Book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 this morning. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Very familiar verse to all of us. Anybody who's been a Christian for very long has heard it preached on or read it. For many people, this is one of the favorite verses in the Bible, and with good cause, because it tells us so much about our relationship with God. And the whole book of Romans chapter 8 is an amazing chapter, that what it tells us. But Romans chapter 8 verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called, who are the called, excuse me, according to His purpose. Father, You know our hearts and You know what we need. And I just pray that as we take a look at this verse, You would help me say something and make a difference, and that You would use the Word of God as it goes out today. And Lord, we just thank You for each one that is here, and we pray for those who cannot be here or will not be here. Lord, we've got those 5,000 mailers we put out, and there are people that may have read them, may have not. Some may have ended up in the trash. But wherever they are, we just pray You'd work in somebody's heart to take up and read the gospel that's on there. And Lord, we just thank You for the visitors we've had from it already. And we just pray that You would work in the lives of the people in this community. And that above all, we pray for the salvation of souls. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, when we look at this verse, of course, like I said, very familiar. Everybody knows Romans 8:28 just about. And it's a comforting verse. Especially when you look at a life of so much uncertainty, it's a very comforting verse. And The reality is that all things work together for good. And you know, when God says all things, He means all things. So whatever's going on in your life today, to me it's a comfort to know that whatever's going on, that God is going to work it for good. Even when we fail in our relationship with God, God is still going to try to turn those things out for our benefit. That's why God chastens us. That's why He disciplines us. That's why He rebukes us. That's why there's conviction from the Holy Spirit. Because all of those things that God wants for you are good. But He's not just working for His good, but for your good. Now the two may well be synonymous in that regard, but the reality of the point of it is, we can look at this world and look at the things that are happening, and especially the things that are beyond our control. You know, we work on our lives and we try to change and we go seek the Lord, and then we look at the world and we say, what is happening out there? And it's very disheartening so many times, and scary for us, that so many things are beyond our ability to control. And then I'm not just talking at the world at large. I'm talking about in your own family. You know, if anything you learn is that people get to make their own choices, and you can't always choose for them. And they don't always make the right choices, just because like we don't always make the right choices. It's scary to live that way. But it's a great comfort to know that all things work together for those that love God, for those that are called according to His purpose, saved people. Now the assumption here is that saved people love God. And the implication here is that saved people love God. But He said, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So I look at that and I say that everything that goes on in my life, God is trying to turn it for good. I don't have to see it. I don't have to know the outcome by experience. I've got His promise that God has my good in mind. And that ought to make you happy. If you're not saved today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you don't have that promise. This is an amazing thing. This is one of the great benefits of salvation. When you put your faith and trust in Christ as your Savior, that God takes all these things that are beyond our control and He begins to work them, and has already been working them, but He begins to work them, and they are, He's been working these things and allowing things to happen, and but intervening, even though He gives man His will and allows man to make his mistakes and allows man to suffer the consequences of his sin. By the way, He does that out of mercy. To show us the consequences of sin, to show us that this is not the right way to go. But he allows man that, yet He's still working in the midst of all that to make sure that the end result for those who are redeemed through faith in the shed blood of Christ is good. And that's an amazing guarantee and promise. But as we look at that, I began looking at that passage of Scripture and looking at what it was saying there. And this won't necessarily be a particularly long verse unless I'm not going to make you any promises, but I don't intend it to be terribly long, long message, I guess. But, you know, I started thinking about them that love God. Now, the assumption there is these are the saved. We know that the lost don't love God. Alright? Psalm 10 says, the wicked, because of the pride of their countenance, doth not seek after God. God is not in all their thoughts. They don't care anything about God. Or if they care about a God, it's one of their own choosing, one of their own making. But when we talk about the Word of God, and we talk about the God of the Bible, they don't regard Him. When we talk about the genuine Creator of the universe, of the world, the Creator of all things, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we talk about that, and so many of the lost people, they don't care. There was a time in my life I didn't care. I may have gave lip service to it, right? And I might have believed in Jesus, but I believed in Jesus like the devil believes in Jesus. I believe in Jesus, but I believe He exists. I believe He's real. I believe God's real and all that, but I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm not going to live His way. I'm going to live my way. I'm going to decide what's right and what's wrong. So, I mean, that's the reality. So, when we look at that, we don't look at the unbeliever as being somebody that loves God. And that's why Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for them that for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So I started thinking about to them that love God. What does it mean to love God? What does it mean to love God? Is it a feeling? I mean, certainly feelings can be a part of it. People have all kinds of feelings toward God. Some people have positive feelings toward God. Some people have negative feelings toward God. Some people are angry with God. Some people are afraid of God, and I'm not talking about a godly reverence. I'm talking about literal, they're afraid of Him. They're scared that He's going to do them some hurt, that they can't trust Him. And there's all types of ways that people have, but feelings that people have. But, you know, while there can certainly be feelings of love and affection toward God, that's not what we're talking about here. You know, it's an amazing thing when we talk about the love of God. So oftentimes, when we talk about God Himself, people's like, well, I can't see God, so how can He exist? But you can't see love, but it exists. We all acknowledge it exists. You can't see hate, but we all acknowledge it exists. So many things we can't see. When I talk about whether you love God or not, I can't look at you and say you love God, because I can't see what's in your heart and your mind. I can't see your spirit. I can't see that. I know that it exists because I see the results of it. I see the proof of it. But the thing itself I do not see. And so, if we go in our Bibles on this theme of love God, if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, if you want to turn over there with me, in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, he's talking about things offered unto idols. And he says in verse 1, he says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity, godly love, if you will, edifieth. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth, it buildeth up. Alright? And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing as yet he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. He's talking to them and giving them instruction on things offered to idols and things like that, and how they're having to deal with the heathen about these things. And so he's dealing with the believers and the lost and the practices of the lost and the practices of the believers. He's talking about all of that, and the scriptures giving us insight and understanding into it. But it puts that statement, if any man love God, the same is known of him. In other words, back to what I was just saying, we can't see love. Excuse me, I dropped my glasses there. We can't see love, but we can see the results of it. You can't see a man's love for God, but you can see the results of it, can you not? And so what does it mean to love God? And this is the important thing. When we look at this verse, Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. When we look at that verse and we talk about it and we analyze it and think about it, we look at that one side and we see the all things working together for good. That's God's part. That love God, them that love God, that's our part. God's part is to make the good. Our part is to love Him. And you know, when we talk about loving God, if you go to the book of 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, he says, we love Him because He first loved us, right? The basis of our love for God is because He loved us. We found out about His love. We found out how much He cared for us. We found out that Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, literally bore our sins in His own body when He hung on Calvary's tree. He paid that penalty for our sins. He shed His blood as a sacrificial death, where He died in our place and suffered the wrath of God in our place. And He paid it in full, and He rose from the dead. And He offers eternal life as a gift. And we find out that all the fear that we have and all the things is no longer there, because we don't have to. Perfect love casteth out fear. When we understand that. So we've learned something about God. And we love Him because He loved us first. Because Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day. And He offers salvation as a gift to those who will humble themselves, acknowledge what God says about them, acknowledge their need of a Savior, and put their faith in Christ. And God says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so that wonderful love that God has for us. So then we get to our part, and he says, but if any man love God, the same is known of him. So, in other words, people can look at us and say, that person loves God. You can look at other Christians and say, you know what? That person loves God. It's something that's known. So what does it mean to love God? Well, if we go back to the book of 1 John, 1 John has a lot to say about that. And I would encourage you to read it. I'm just trying to give you something to think on today and think about how much do you love God. 1 John chapter 4, and if you look over there, he says this in verse 7, we've all heard this one before. It said, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And when he's saying God is love, he's not saying God is the emotion. He's saying God is the source of love. All right? Love is his character attribute. This is one of God is love, God is holy, God is just, God is righteous, God is all these things. So he said, and this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or full payment for our sins. That word propitiation means the complete and full total payment. He said, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That right there is one of the objects of love. Of telling the world about a Savior. Of caring about the souls of other people. Just like God, the Lord, cares for our souls. That we join in His care for the lost. That's a sign of love for God, certainly. Getting the gospel out, sharing your testimony. Praying for the lost. I'm not telling you anything new, am I? And he said this, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. In other words, having a right doctrine of who Jesus is, right, is love for God. And he said, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Believing God's love, when we say Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. And you have so many Christians now that profess to be Christians and everything, and we get to the point, if we get in the flesh, we start bellyaching about how God's treating us and what's going on and how this isn't going the way I want it and this and that, and it's all about us and everything like that. And we ignore everything else and we begin to harbor feelings of bitterness toward God. And I've seen it happen before. Because we stop believing in the love that he has for us. Oh yeah, he loved us, he saved us, but he don't care. He obviously don't care for me right now. That's not true. Can't be true if all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. You can't ever say he doesn't care. And so, when we look at that, he goes on and he says, we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. We understand that we're not of this world any longer. We are of heaven. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And then he says, we love him because he first loved us. And then look at verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. And then he said this in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2. He said, well, let's go ahead and read verse 1. He said, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandment. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. It's not difficult. It's not hard. It's not a hard thing to keep the commandments of God. It's only hard on the flesh. It's not hard on the spirit. That's why it's important we walk in the spirit and learn. But notice what he says. There's a direct correlation there. He said, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And Jesus said the same thing. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments, right? So the idea of going out, and especially among ourselves, of keeping the commandments of God toward each other. Now, if you're in the flesh today, you're probably thinking about some Christians that are sorry Christians and don't show their love for anybody. If you're in the spirit today, you're examining your own heart. I can't tell you the number of times as a pastor that I have preached something like this, and somebody has come to me after the service, or maybe I've preached this in another church somewhere, and somebody has come to me after the service and began to tell me about somebody who is a Christian who didn't show love. And you know what? There's not a cotton-picking thing you could do about that other than be biblical and go to that person between them and you alone and try to talk to them, right? But the fact you want to come to the preacher first tells me something. And the fact that you're worried about somebody else loving you rather than you loving someone else. You know, I can't make anybody love me. And some of you might be saying, well, that's not a surprise. And I'd probably agree with you there. But the reality is, the truth is, I can't control that. But I can control whether I love or not. And the love we're talking about here is the commandments of God. All the commandments from thou shalt have no other gods before me, all the way down to thou shalt not covet, all those 10 commandments. And every other commandment that God has given is rooted in that focus of love that we have. And the expression of love that we have toward one another is how we behave towards one another. There are some things. Now, you can play church, don't get me wrong. You can be ungenuine. Nobody can see that side of you. But I guarantee you, if you're genuine, it's going to be known. Just because there are liars in the world doesn't diminish those that love in truth. So the question is, what are you going to be? You can love, you can not love, and you can even pretend to love but not really love. But I guarantee you, if we love the way God says, all these things, He said that love is the fulfilling of the law, And all that's in the law, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not murder, all those things, is briefly comprehended in this one saying, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But the focus of this is not just loving our neighbor, not just loving everyone, the lost, or anybody like that. The focus here is loving our brothers and sisters in it. And we need it. We need to love one another. And I think times are coming where we're going to have to prove that more than we ever have. I honestly believe that. But you know, that's the sad thing about it, is we have to understand that. We have to love one another the way we're supposed to. And we love each other by keeping the commandments of God toward each other. And there's plenty of room for feelings, but if all you base your idea of love on is how you feel in a given moment, it can be gone in an instant, can't it? You know, love for one another, those feelings of, quote, love for one another, those feelings of affection toward one another, those things like that, they can disappear real quick. And all necessary for that to happen, unless you have developed your character to love like God loves, all that's necessary for our love, those feelings of love to be extinguished, is for somebody to fail you. Now, how many people on this earth have failed? All of them. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one. And that is why we don't measure love by feeling. We measure love by the commandments of God. We don't keep the commandments in order to be saved. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. If you keep the commandments in order to get to heaven, you will die and go to hell, because you have rejected the shed blood of Christ. You have rejected the salvation of God. You've rejected the righteousness of God, and you've gone about to establish your own righteousness. And you're saying you're going to get to heaven because you kept the commandments, knowing full well you didn't keep them, because every one of us knows we failed those commandments. So why do we keep the commandments? Out of love, love for God, and love for one another. Not a feeling, but an expression of genuine love that transcends the way we feel, that's higher than the way we feel, that's greater. And that love may require us to take a stand that's unpopular. That love may require us to take a stand where other people won't have feelings of love toward us. Most people are mad at God, not because God has done them any wrong, it's because God didn't do their bidding. Because He didn't just do what they said, because they want to be God. That's why most people are mad at God. But God doesn't change. He stands right where He's supposed to. He stands in righteousness and holiness and love. And His behavior doesn't change. And we look at God's love and God's mercy and God's grace in this day, and we say, oh, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the creation of the world. And the person that loves God, that understands, accounts that the long suffering of our God is salvation. Amen. There's the truth. You know, when I read that verse in Romans 8:28, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, that it thrills my soul and gives me peace. It gives me an understanding that, okay, yeah, the world's as wackadoodle as it can be. And people are getting crazier by the minute, and sin, and you know, the Bible worries about us. It says, because iniquity, the Bible says this, because iniquity will abound, the love of many will wax cold. Not their feelings, but their willingness to do what God commands. The love of many will wax cold because iniquity abounds, and we're in this. But I know that everything works together for good for me. So all that I need to do is be the one that loves God. That's my goal in life. That ought to be our goal in life, to be the one that is worthy of that verse, that loves God, so that it's known of us that this is the type of person we are. We have compassion, we have mercy, we have grace, we have love, we have kindness, we have all the things that by the Bible tells us to do and be. We yield ourselves to the Spirit of God, and where we need to stand, we stand against the world if necessary. But the world looks at us and they say, they sure do love one another. And Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another, right? Didn't he say that? If any man love God, the same is known of him. God has freed me from the worry of outcome, so I can attend on being what I'm supposed to be. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I don't know what's in your heart today. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know anything about that, but if God spoke to your heart, now's the time to deal with it. Now's the time to deal with it. Can people tell that you love God? Have you personally experienced the love of God? Do you know Christ is your Savior? Those are questions only you can answer. I'm not asking you to give me a profession of faith. I'm asking you to search your heart. And if you say, without it, beyond a shadow of a doubt, preacher, I know I'm saved. I know my faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to go to hell. I deserve God's judgment. But I believe Jesus died and paid for those sins that I've committed, paid for my sins. And my faith and trust is in Him, and I called on Him with all my heart, and I truly believe that He is, I believe His promise of salvation, and when I call upon Him, He saved me, and I know I'm saved, preacher. I'm so happy about that. But do people, it's good to have that assurance in your heart, but do people know that you love God? That's important too, isn't it? For how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? And it's not just preaching by the words, preaching by our example too. It's all there, isn't it? All things are taken care of. I don't have to be afraid of what the future holds. I don't have to be afraid of what's going on. All I need to be concerned with is loving God the way I should. Where are you at there? Our Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You for each one that's here. And I just pray, Lord, You would help us to see where we need to change in order to love You as we ought. We're so thankful that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We've got that great promise in the Word of God, all things, no matter what. We have that promise, and we thank You for it. But Lord, help us be the ones that love God the way we should. We pray You bless each one, and Lord, work in every heart, and help us to love one another and love you as we ought. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.